And welcome to the Danny
and Rihanna show. This is Danny, Rihanna's husband.
And this is Rihanna, Danny's wife. And today we're in a slightly different setup. So if you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening, go ahead and check us out over there as well. We are sitting in our own offices. We're not at our kitchen table for this episode. Danny, you want to give us a tease as to why we're a little different this time around?
Yeah, I just started using this Riverside website where it's you can record their video and audio, and also you could also do like live streams. And I feel like it's a lot easier to this because you could do captions in there. We could do like social videos with clips that we get from here. And also, if we have a script, we could also put it in here. And it will be easier for us, whoever's part of this conversation, we could just read it. And it's easier for us also to invite people to do interviews and stuff like that, you know. So it's great. It's great. So highly recommend it for those that are trying to do that content like this.
Yeah, so. As Danny mentioned, we may have some special guests coming on soon. So this is going to make that a little bit easier to do. And of course, we want to test it ourselves to see how it works. And of course, we're huge fans of accessibility. We want to make sure that we make any clips that we make for the show in the future, any recordings, caption accessible so that people who have difficulty hearing can still read along and be part of the conversation that way as well. So we're trying some new technology partners. We talked about AI before. You know, maybe there's some benefits that we can find using those tools here today. So yeah. Just wanted to do that little bit of housekeeping. And Danny, I think we had a comment from one of our recent episodes as well.
Yes. So this one was from the backlog episode about games and TV or movies, you know, how big is your backlog. We had a great conversation. Make sure to check out that episode. Highly recommend it to listen to. So this one was posted actually 3 days ago from a listener. His name is Philip. He says, great episode and topic. Sometimes when I'm undecided on the game, I like to watch. I got to edit this part. So this was about reviews, the reviews episode, which we released that recently. Mm-hmm. And we actually, you know, how important is reviews for the listeners or the out there. And we have one comment from Philip. He says, great episode and topic. Sometimes when I'm undecided on the game, I like to watch game ranks on YouTube before you buy videos, which helps me decide on a game instead of going by a number score, which is great, right, Ree? Because, you know, not everybody wants to depend on just a number, because sometimes when they see a review number, they don't read everything else. They just see the number and they're decided to purchase or not purchase the game like that. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely. This is a
great comment.
Yeah, and Game Ranks is a wonderful channel here on YouTube. If you're watching along with us, shout out to Jake Baldino and Falcon and the team over there. They do really good work, and we watch them all the time too. So highly recommend that way to figure out if you want to put your money towards an experience before you make the commitment.
And also, we have a poll from the last episode, and also it's about review scores. And this one is, should media reviews have number scores? This is a pretty good one. 67% said sometimes.
Okay.
33% said no. And 0% say yes.
Interesting. So most folks don't like the numbers. That is surprising, I will say.
I think that's great. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. No. Oh. But
love context.
What was the topic for this episode, Ree?
So today we are going to be talking about events in the media space. And for Danny and I, the overwhelming majority of the events that we attend are for video games and gaming. But we also have some movie and TV events sprinkled in there. You know, Danny's been involved with Tribeca. You know, we've been invited to some things with Paramount with the Halo series, as we've participated in some of their content as well. So yeah, we wanted to just talk about what the landscape of events is like right now in a post-pandemic world, and you know, our likes, dislikes, what we hope can stay the same, what we think might change, and what it's been like as folks on the inside going to all of these events that you hear about and read about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to go back when my, I'll tell you what was my first event that I ever attended.
Yeah.
This was the year 2000. And ooh, it was for the
way back, taking it way back.
Where, actually, this was my first video game media event that I got invited. I wasn't, I was still doing like internet radio experimenting, but it wasn't like how it is now. But I attended a SegaNet launch. So this was for the Sega Dreamcast. Sega launched an online service where when it was launched, the company sponsored this, I believe, the VMAs. Chris Rock was the host of that year of the awards. And when it's I went
video
to the event,
music awards from MTV.
MTV, way back, way back in the days. So when I went to the event, it was cool. They had like a lot of like game trailers. So they showed like Shenmue coming soon. They had also games that you could play online with against other players. They already also have the same games too. And it was NFL 2K1. That was really cool playing that for the first time online. It was phenomenal. So that was my first event. And the thing that I love about attending events throughout the years has been just interacting with people, either fans or people that also worked on the product or developers who worked on the game. And we just have conversations, you know, like when I went to the Nintendo GameCube event, it was called Q Club back in 2001. I talked to the Nintendo team back then and they were showing me around of all like the games available to play, stuff like that. Right. But also I also attended events for like the music side too. Right. So like they'll have like the artist will be at a store the day that the album comes out and you get like, you meet the artist and they'll give you like autographs and stuff like that. You don't see that much, that type of things nowadays, you know, like I miss the interaction with like people like that, you know, especially now the past couple of years, there's no E3 anymore. Right. So, and I've been
rest in peace.
I mean, I've been attending E3 for a very long time.
And it was E3 is for people who don't know is what,
yeah, it's a video game conference where the industry, they're there to show their products, their games, consoles to either retailers or investors, and also the consumers could go if they buy a ticket or get a ticket to attend E3, and also the media, and you could get hands on to play all the upcoming games that's coming out either later that year or the year after, you know. So now the thing that has been changing the past few years is now companies like to do their own events instead of paying someone to have like a booth, which is more expensive. So and I think the first time that I got to see that was for Apple used to have press conferences during like CES and stuff like that, and the company decided
consumer electronics show.
Mm-hmm. That's another
just trying
event.
To help describe for, because yes, we're using a lot of shorthand for people who may not know what all these
and
things
I apologize
are.
I apologize but yeah, so Apple just decided to do their own events, invite the creators, invite the media, get to see the product. They have like a big press conference streaming online, and they don't need no consumer electronics show at all, you know. So sorry for my long intro, but I think it is important to talk about how was it back in the past and how it is now present when it comes to like events and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I mean, I can take it from there. My first gaming event was E3 in 2015. And as we know now, E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo from the ESA, Electronics something agency. Mm-hmm. They're no longer having the in-person event. And for 2 years, 3 years, around the time when we had a shutdown here in the States, they had an online version. So a fully remote E3 experience. And now we have nothing announced for the foreseeable future. And as Danny, you mentioned, there's a lot of things that have kind of popped up over time, either in the place of what used to be E3 or just throughout the whole calendar year. So we have Tokyo Game Show. We have Gamescom, which is held every year in the fall in Cologne, Germany. We have Nintendo does their own Nintendo Direct broadcasts throughout the year, like several times a year, most years. We have the Xbox Bethesda Showcase, where Microsoft's Xbox gets to show off their games. We have Sony does a State of Play every once in a while, where they're showing off all their things. So we from the big three, Xbox, Sony, and Nintendo, we have many different moments throughout the year that we hear from them in a showcase. But the in-person events are still so, so important. And there's something specific that happens at these shows, like a Summer Game Fest, even the Game Awards, which isn't necessarily a conference, but it is still an event, is the in-person interaction. And for me, what I struggle with as somebody who is a huge proponent of accessibility and inclusion is when things are in person, it's inherently going to exclude a lot of people, right? People who can't travel, people who aren't local, people who can't afford to make it there. And it's really unfortunate because the speed at which business gets done and the speed at which like real human connections behind business dealings are made, it is just impossible to replicate remotely. Like there's a really huge benefit to opening up a lot of these events to an online presence. However, it's not the same as sitting across a dinner table from, you know, somebody who you can just pick their brain for an hour, right? There's nothing that's going to match that. And for folks who have had both online and in-person relationships, you know, there's always going to be a difference when you're face-to-face. So I love that events have really come back in full force, and, you know, marketing budgets are still contributing to events, and we're able to get invited to a lot of really great things throughout the year, both as media and as press, influencers and as press, because some things we're just invited to go experience it and talk about it. Other things we report on, right? So there's kind of two different approaches there. But what I love more than anything is when we go to events, not only are we getting to see this product, right, whatever the game or the movie or the TV show is, ahead of time to give our feedback, but also put our thoughts together before it really goes out and goes wild and goes wide, so that our impressions aren't influenced by, you know, everybody else out there. We also get to see other people who we know, who we've worked with before, and get their first impressions and their raw thoughts. And it's before they, you know, go sit down with their editor. It's before they record anything. And it's so fascinating to me how when we're sitting at, let's say we're at a game preview and we're all sitting in the hallway, you know, snacking on whatever they've gotten for us to eat, and maybe having a drink at a bar afterwards, and just talking about our experiences, like how much we still light up and we're still just fans of these mediums. And we get to just say like, oh, wasn't it cool? That felt a lot like this game, or that scene reminded me of whatever movie that was my favorite back in the 90s. And we really just get to nerd out with each other. It's just so special. And it's something that you don't get when you have a screener at home, or if you're just demoing something in your living room alone. It's a much more community-driven experience, and I really appreciate that. So something I wanted to ask you, Danny, with different events that we've been to, like I said, we've been to the Summer Game Fest, the Game Awards, the E3s, the For You, Tribeca. What is one of your favorite events that you've been to, and why?
Ooh, that's a couple. Let me see. I'm going to think of this one. So, there's a couple. So, back then, I think the launch of the original Xbox was a lot of fun, being part of that event, because I got invited to that one. That was actually my first time that a company was like, we want you to be part of this and play with Bill Gates. And that was kind of crazy. And I remember coming out from the venue, because it was actually, they had the event inside of Toys R Us at Times Square, and when I came out, the whole Times Square was like the theme was the color green, mm-hmm. everywhere. And from there, we had to walk to the WWE restaurant, which is now the Hard Rock Cafe in there. When I got there, it was you know, all the wrestlers were there. The Rock was hosting the event, also like the local DJs from like Hot 97 was also playing music and hyping the crowd up. And at the same time, I was interacting with the people that I met at at a couple events in New York, and we were just talking about the console, what we're excited about, because we also got the console early, so that was a lot of fun. So that's one. I also enjoyed Call of Duty XP. So for those who know, Call of Duty, Activision had this event, and they were doing it like every few years. So I know the first time I missed it, the first one that had Kanye West performing there. So the second one, the one that I went to, they had Snoop Dogg was there performing, and Wiz Khalifa was there too performing with Snoop. So that was a lot of fun. But the cool thing about that event, so the great thing about that event was they had, of course, the esports side where you get to see like the competitions and stuff like that. But they also have activities all around the stadium. So they had like a haunted house, but it was like themed as like zombies from like the game Call of Duty Zombies, right? There also was one of like a zip line. And there was also like you had to like shoot some characters, I think, to get points, and if you get points, you win something. So I can't remember, it was like so long ago, but like things like that. They had like a lot of activities to do at the event, so that was a lot of fun. Another one which was wild to me, and I think it had to be like the most expensive event that I've ever been to. Well, actually there was two. One was Fortnite. Epic Games rented out a stadium, and they converted the whole stadium into like the actual island of Fortnite. So everybody also had activities where you had to find like special chests, and you have to like drink whatever drinks they have there, like alcohol and stuff like that. And they'll give you a ticket, and that ticket is a scratch off. So based on that, it will help you to unlock this secret treasure chest that had like money in there, but I think nobody got to unlock that at all.
No,
but
one was won the money, huh?
No. But it was cool. It was awesome to see the whole place just Fortnite theme. And the craziest one was Activision. This is during E3. I can't remember what year it was, but they rented out Staples Center at that time, and they had free drinks, free food, and nonstop performance from Rihanna, the singer, Eminem. They had tons of artists just back-to-back performing. And every time they'll perform, they'll show a trailer of the game that they're actually promoting, because they either were part of the project, you know, soundtrack or voice acting and stuff like that. So stuff like that was very, very cool. You're not going to see that again nowadays, unless the company, will, like the publishers or studios or from the gaming side or from the movie entertainment or TV side, they have to do it like probably like on their own, you know? So those are like my favorites throughout the years. What about yours?
Oh goodness. I don't have as many stories as you do. But one that sticks out in my mind, cause it was just really special, was the preview event down here in LA for Ori and the Will of the Wisps. And this was actually a project that I worked on as a product marketer from Xbox. So we worked with a company called TripleClix. Shout out to them. They do amazing stuff. But we got a spot and decked the whole thing out like it was in the forest. And three of the walls in the building in the giant room that we were in were video walls. And they actually had scenes from the game projected onto the walls. So you felt like you were actually inside the environments.
That's cool.
And they had audio tracks playing, like the background audio from the game playing. There's moss like hanging from the ceiling, so you felt like you're in the forest, and like a subtle soft smoke kind of wafting through. So it felt like the ground felt like it might have been like the forest floor. And they even brought in smells, like forest scents, into like help give you this the sense of really being inside the game. Was really, really special. And of course they had themed drinks and some booths where you get to sit down and play the game early ahead of time. But two really special things they had at that event that I was just completely enamored with. The first one didn't work out. We were supposed to have the actual pianist who composed the game come and perform, but there were flight issues. There are delays due to, you know, illness and things spreading. This was in, you know, the height of COVID breaking out. And so it wasn't possible to bring them in, but we did have a piano set like moved into the space in order to give a concert, which was really, really sweet planning. And the second thing, which did work out, is we actually had a live owl. And
oh, really?
And, yeah. So an owl is a very owl is a very prominent character. And wait, I'm thinking of Avatar: Last Airbender. Sorry, there's an owl in Ori and the Will of the Wisps, and this character is really scary, actually. But the owl that they brought in was very, very sweet, and you got to stand next to the owl and pose. And I actually have a picture of me next to this live owl, and it's humongous. Like it's like this whole top half of my body. It's way bigger than I expected an owl to be. I don't know what size I thought an owl would be, but he was huge.
Were you scared?
A little bit. Just a little bit. He was very friendly.
Okay.
But it was just really cool. So that was a really fun, like sort of environmental, like vibey kind of experience. Another one that stands out to me that we attended as guests, you and I together, Danny, and this was actually when, right after like we found out that we were pregnant, was Diablo 4 here. Ooh, in LA as well.
That was an awesome event. That was awesome.
So for this event, they rented out a huge, I want to say like it was like a theater hall or something. Like it was a big open space. And for those who aren't familiar with the game Diablo, it's a game that deals with angelic figures and also demonic ones and thieves and rogues and fortune tellers and wizards. And, you know, it's very fantasy based. So what was really cool is that in this giant hall, of course, they had, you know, drinks and, you know, themed drinks that were like elixirs and potions and things, either alcoholic or not. Obviously, I drank the mocktails. But they also had different stations around the room where you could go like sit down and get your fortune read, or you could go, you know, receive a missive from the Thieves Guild and try to, you know, perform a duty for them. And there was actually things hidden in the room where you would go and try to like unlock something or solve a puzzle, and you would like open up a chest and there'd be the next clue to the rest of the puzzle there. And there were some people at that event at the party, and this is like filled with the room filled with hundreds of people, right? It's like a giant, think of like a big church.
Like
a big church with no pews, right? And there's an altar at the front. Think of how many people would be able to fit in there. And then there's maybe like 10 people who are running around trying to solve all of these clues and figure out how to unlock this chest at the end. It was really, really fun. There were some celebrity sightings there. That's kind of cool. And we're in LA, that happens from time to time. But the two things that happened there that really stood out is, number one, Lilith, who is the main villain from the game. She's the mother of demons. She actually, at one point, was suspended from the ceiling, a character, obviously an actress in an outfit that looked like Lilith. And she was suspended from the ceiling, and then her cape/wings kind of fanned out into a giant screen, and they projected the introduction to the game on her cape from the ceiling. Like, it was wild, like
it
huge
was crazy.
Spectacle. It was honestly the craziest thing I've seen in person at one of these events.
It was well done. It was pretty
it
well
was
done.
It was really, really well done. It was a really cool moment.
Yeah.
And then it's just like all these hundreds of people staring up at her. It felt like we were like, you know, the minions inside the game. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing that happened later at the end of the night was that there was a surprise Zed concert. And they shut the whole thing down up on the altar. All of a sudden there's a DJ booth and Zed sitting there playing a bunch of music. And our good friend Angie Renee is a huge EDM house music fan, and she lost her mind. She's like, "What? I can't believe it!" And she's like, ran That's to cool. the front, and like we're all sitting there, like, yeah. Like it was a great night. It was That's a cool. really, really cool event, and yeah, I liked how they tied it into the game as well. Like it wasn't just an event for an event's sake. Like it really felt like you were in that world for a few hours. So that was cool. But yeah, those are two that really came to mind, is the one that I worked on and then one that I attended. But hopefully I can do more events like that again. I really enjoy it. You know, I've had a very fortunate career so far in games, and I know Danny, you're definitely in it for the long haul as well.
I've been to so many, but yeah. You know what? There was one event that you didn't talk about that we were kind of part. Well, you were more part of it than me, but the Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, yeah.
Ghostbusters in New York. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Right? So shout out to Ilphonic and Shannon over there who brought me in to help with this Ghostbusters Rise of the Ghost Lord. Is that right? Yeah, the VR game. It was Ghostbusters
console game.
Spirits Unleashed.
Spirits Unleashed
on console. Sorry, there's so many Ghostbusters games. But yeah, it was Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed. And our friends, James Willems and Elise Willems, actually wrote for the game. So we had a lot of buddies who were there at the event, but I also had the pleasure of working to bring it to life. So, of course, I've had demo stations where people could try the game ahead of time, but we had themed drinks. We had hand sanitizers, like, modeled after the different little ghosts. So,
like Slimer?
Yeah, I was actually... I actually got approved, and I'm so surprised they actually let me do this. There's a ghost; it's purple, and it perfectly matched like this one Bath and Body Works hand sanitizer color that was purple. And they let me put a custom label on it. And the ghost's name is Winky, and they actually let me rename the sanitizer to Winky Wash.
That was pretty smart.
So surprised they let me get away with that, because. You know, if you want to, you know, be a little bit tongue in cheek, Winky Wash could mean a lot of different things, yeah. But it was a hand sanitizer, and it's important to have that at events, especially when people are trying out things on demo stations. And we did themed drinks, of course. I helped design stuff, and we did the step and repeat. And special guests at that event was Questlove, did a music set, and it was a really, really fun event. And we got to do it in New York and go see family while we were out there doing the setup and planning. So that was a really special trip too. And I just really love being involved in that part of games and entertainment marketing where we get to see people and have these really cool experiences and, you know, just celebrate and enjoy things and have fun. Like, there's so much darkness and negativity in the world. It's great when you get a spot of sunshine and, you know, can really enjoy the company of others doing things that you like.
Yeah, I just love having events and also attending events from different companies, because sometimes when you go to these events and like for example, you mentioned about Ori and the Blind Forest, right? You go in there and it's like the theme of the game. It feels like an experience, and then
yeah,
it will make you be more excited to check out the game even more, or like, let's say, movie or TV. I wish there's more of that in the future. And sometimes you see, like Nintendo, they've done events where there was two that I went to. That was actually, one of them was really funny. But the first one was for the launch of the Wii, the original Wii. So it was in Miami, Florida. One of my friends, I think he got contacted from Nintendo. He applied to be an ambassador. So they were looking for different ambassadors in different cities across the country. And because they picked that ambassador has to invite his friends, his or her friends, to go to a private event where we will get to play the Wii for the first time. Hands-on. No media, no content creator. It's just typical regular folks, right? But they didn't know that I was part of the media. So my friend invited me to go. And I was there with my brother. And they told us, okay, each person is going to have a code. So they gave us, like, I was like Mario. My brother, I think, was like Luigi. And we had to, like, say something. It was, like, very secretive. It was very strict, too. So they told us, leave your phone inside the vehicle. You're not allowed to bring your phones inside the event. No cameras, nothing like that. We're like, all right. So we take this vehicle to go to the secret location, and it got really weird because of van. We went to inside of the van, right? And they covered the van all black. So you couldn't. They didn't want us to know where was this location. I mean, we know Miami, so whatever. So I'm like freaking out. I'm like, wait a minute. So we can't have our phones. They cover the whole car. Is this like a mafia thing? Like, what is this?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. I don't know if I would be okay with that.
That was very weird for attending an event like this. So then we got there, and it looked like they rented out like this small warehouse in the middle of the hood. It was like crazy. And then we go in there and we start playing the game. So they had Zelda, for the Wii, Madden. They had all the launch games that was coming out for the Wii. And this we got to play, I believe, September, and the Wii came out like November. So it was like 2 months in advance we got to play all this stuff, man. So it was really cool. And that was the first time that I actually was playing, using the Wii remote. That was like mind-blowing at that time. But just the process of like, go to this van, we're going to cover it all in black, leave your phone and camera in your car. It was just weird. That was very weird. Companies can't pull that off nowadays, man. Because even my brother was joking, like, who's going to save us if they kidnap us, you know? So the other event that, and this one was much better than that one, was for the Wii U. And this time it was South Beach. Nintendo rented a venue, like a club, and they had hands-on all the games. You could bring your friends, your family. There was a lot of kids in there, too, like people bringing like the kids to play the games. And that was a lot of fun, more organized. And it's sad because that event, they went all out because they had events like this all across the country, Nintendo. And the console was a flop. Like, it really didn't sell that much compared to, like, the Wii and other consoles, you know? So. Mm-hmm. Is there anything like that for you? Like any experience where you attended an event or you worked on an event that, you know, maybe the sales wasn't that great, but you could tell that they put so much money on like having that event to have that cool experience for like the consumers, creators or media. Was there anything like that for you in the past or no?
Not really. I mean, no.
No? Okay. Well, for me, it was the Wii U. For me, it was the Wii U. I was like, man. That was pretty cool, but I think the crowd got confused about the Wii and Wii U, you know, so.
I mean, I've been to, you know, hands-on previews for games that didn't do so well, but that doesn't, it's not the same as an event.
Yeah, it's not the same. Yeah, it's not the same. Yeah. Yeah. I think that was a Redfall. That was one of them.
Yeah. Sorry about Redfall.
It's all good.
One of the things that I wanted to make sure we touched on, because, you know, we have this specific experience as people who are insiders in the industry. I don't like using that term, but it is appropriate here. What are some of the things that happen at events or that some events do well that you hope to see more of? And what are some things that you notice maybe aren't really resonating that you think could potentially change in the future?
I think that was a perfect example of the one with Wii U. I think that was very organized, how they invited a lot of people from like media, non-media, you know, just regular consumers to check out like the console. That was really cool. I just love when you go to an event and it's very, very organized and it's easy to walk around. Sometimes I've been to an event that's too packed that I can even have no time to play whatever they have available to try out because it's packed, you know? So that's the thing that I would like to see more in the future of like, you don't have to have an event and have it packed, but have a certain amount of people in there that you will have time to talk to people that are at the event, try out the games and stuff like that. It just feels more organized, you know? So, I think one of them that I went to that was really cool and it was in Miami was, Gears of War 4. That event was really cool. It was very, very small, but they had consoles, playable demos everywhere. So, at the event, and it was invite only, they had, the Miami Dolphins was there. A couple of actors and actresses from like novelas from, you know, from Univision, Telemundo were there trying it out too. And local artists, you know, from like the hip hop scene and stuff like that. That was really cool. It was like one of the big hip hop artists was there too, playing the game too. That was a lot of fun seeing that. So one thing that I would love to see in the future is maybe not only have it only for the media and content creators, but also have more also for like the consumers who attend events. I think that would be really cool to see that. I know companies have tried that in the past, but I've been seeing a very small amount of companies actually doing that, like inviting the fans to play games. Yeah.
That's interesting. I know there's a couple that I've been to where both are invited. One that stands out that was really well done, actually, was Persona.
Yes, I forgot about
I can't remember
one.
What game, at least what it was, but it was, I want to say, a year and a half-ish ago that we attended, where both influencers, media, and fans were invited to attend. Of course, fans, it was waitlist only for media. We were invited, and it was really, really well done. So we went to a hotel. We go up to the rooftop floor. They have the whole floor booked out. And on one side of the elevator banks, they have streaming stations where different streamers were taking turns actually live streaming from the venue, which was really cool. They had an entire like food market decked out with different, you know, custom food items that they cooked that were kind of themed as part of the game. They had different Japanese snacks across this, you know, fake grocery aisle that you could go and check out and get some snacks. And they had a light up dance floor and a DJ playing a bunch of Persona music and, you know, music from other stuff. That was a whole lot of fun. And of course, you know, demo stations to play the games that they had. But what was really, really special is that they actually at, I think it was like the stroke of midnight, they had a drone show where.
Yeah, I think it was like 10, 15 minutes long, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, where you go up to the roof and you on the balcony rather, and look out, and there was an entire drone display that played. And that was a really cool event. You could tell they really put a lot of time and effort into it. And fans were invited to that as well as media. So yeah, I think there's a lot of really cool ways to incorporate both, you know, fans and media and make it as seamless as possible. But as you said, something that I find really, really helpful at these events is when it's well organized and you're not waiting in line forever. You're not outside in the cold, you know, wondering what's going on. You know, drink tickets and where to get food and how to go to the bathroom is all very clear and very well communicated. Because, you know, if you think about it, if you walk into a random building you've never been to, if the first thing you do is get something to drink and then you got to pee, like it's helpful to know where the bathroom is.
Yep.
And it's small things like that that get overlooked sometimes when you're at an event and especially at a specific venue. And one of the things that I think I've noticed has been changing is they have gotten smaller for sure, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But I find it's really strange. One example I can give is there was an event in Seattle many, many years ago for a game called The Messenger, where they rented out a club in downtown. I think this was around Comic-Con, I want to say, Emerald City Comic-Con or PAX West or one of those things. And everybody was down in the main floor and, you know, mingling. They had food and drinks and things for people to enjoy. And then there was a concert from the band that plays the music for The Messenger, which was really cool. But then I found out much later that there was like some very exclusive VIP area that only some people got invited to go up to.
Really?
And some people that I'm very good friends with and work with all the time were there, and then others weren't. And it was just odd. And it's almost as if the people organizing didn't know their guest list. Because why would you invite one person and not another? And it would be they're as close as staying at each other's house, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very awkward and odd. That's one thing that I hope is a little bit better managed overall, not just in the future, but at all times, is know who you're inviting, know who they know what they're going to expect, how they're going to perceive this event, and you know, do your research if you're the planners and organizers of these things. Also, I really like when the game or the movie or the TV show is tied into the theme or the decor or the food and drink and everything. And it's a little bit more interactive and not just, you know, come to this place and get a bunch of free stuff and then leave. One thing that I think was that something we've done recently was actually we went to the premiere for Halo Season 2. And there were different places where you could pose with people dressed up as Spartans. Spartans, the soldiers from the Halo series, Spartans. And that was cool, but it did feel like, okay, that's it. Like I'm not going to do anything else. And there was a lot of time where you're just kind of standing in the lobby waiting to go and see it. And there was no food. Nothing to drink. They didn't even have water. Like, those are things that I think.
They had drinks, but it was like when you were going inside to to watch the
after we were waiting in the lobby for an hour and a half. That's the kind of thing that I hope is tightened up in the future, you know, for different events. But I understand it. It's really challenging. There's lots of moving parts. Event work is always, you know, touch and go. Nothing ever goes to plan at the last second. It's mostly improvised with good preparation at best. But I think there's some that have been really special. I think it's really important to have these in-person experiences. It's great to give people access to things online and remotely, but nothing's going to beat a face-to-face. And I really hope that we get to see more of them in the future and that they're done thoughtfully and they make them memorable. Because, you know, as you hear Danny talking, as you hear me talking, like some of these, you just can't even, you can't even remember what it was for. If they don't take the extra time to put that love and care into really integrating your experience into whatever the product is that they're showing you. So,
yeah. Anything else before we wrap it up? I think this was a great conversation. I think we should do more of these of like events. And I know we're probably going to attend more.
We're definitely attending more. We have a bunch on our calendar already.
Yeah, so we could definitely, you know, talk about it here in the future. We do like a part two.
Yeah, like maybe a part two, like our favorites over the last year or so. As somebody who works in marketing, this is a subject that's near and dear to my heart because I take a lot of pride in the events that I put together. So thanks for chatting about them with me.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I've been to so many events. Oh my God.
Yeah.
20, and you've thrown some years. Too. Oh yeah, I've done a couple, which was a lot of fun too.
Well, we can talk about that another time.
Another time. All right, so everyone, thank you for watching or listening to the latest episode of the Danny and Rihanna Show. Make sure to follow us on socials. Also, subscribe or follow the podcast on any podcast app or on YouTube also, and it will help us out if you could share our content and spread the word, tell people about it. And also, if you want to be part of our every episode, we read like comments from people, and also vote. If you're on Spotify, make sure to vote the poll. Every week we have a new one, and that would be great for us to have like a conversation about that too. So anything else, Ree?
No, that's it. Just share it with a friend. We want to spread the word about what we're doing here, and send us your questions. What is it? DannyandRihanna.com/contact. If you want to shoot us a private message that you don't feel comfortable sharing publicly, then you can always keep it anonymous if you like.
Definitely. All right, guys and gals. Until next time, we're out. Take care. Bye.